Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not your wife, it's not your kids, it's not your neighbor, and it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends.
You're listening to The Winning Edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
The late night anchor management class. This is Sports Rage. It's level 2. George Kurtz is going to step up and then talk some Islander hockey. He'll be in a little bit better mood than we're in. Although, whatever. The hockey game was one thing. I can't believe we just got screwed over by 1 point. Oh, the parlay, man. The parlay. Yeah, like I said, a nice plus 170 on the way out really, really just would have tied it. It just would have cleaned everything up. It was sort of like, you know, there was a big mess on the floor. It's like, you know, he spilt everything. And it's like, all right. It's like, with that parlay, it would have been like, hey, wow, man. It's like we never spilt anything at all, actually. It was, all right, let's just move forward on to tomorrow. I got to tell you, man. The playoffs, we're talking about, like, teams have to sort of take it one game at a time and stuff. But, I, you know, me personally, man, you know how many times over, like, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks during these playoffs, I've been like, wow, I just won $800, like, in, like, wow, in, like, 4 hours. Or, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, wow, I'm up $600, you know what I mean, at the end of the night. And you know how many times I've been like, wow. I just lost like $775 in like, you know, 4 hours here with these games, right? Like you go in and the thing is, as the playoffs go on, there's less games, right? So like, you know, tonight there was, you know, 2 NBA games and a hockey game, right? So you live with it, you go in and whatever happens, happens, you got to deal with it. We did okay, but we went 2-1 in baseball tonight. So we went 2-1 with baseball. We lost with the Blue Jays. We win with Cleveland. And what was the other one? We had Washington over Pittsburgh. We went 2-1 with the shots on goal prop tonight. And, you know, we're going to play some more shots on goal props moving forward here, especially with Vegas and Montreal. There's certain dudes that do, like, sort of repeat things. Toffoli really is a shot machine. So we went 2-1 with the shot prop. We lost the Carey Price saves prop at 28.5. We lost that. And we lost the Canadians plus a puck and a half. We lost the Canadians plus 215. We lost the Philadelphia 76ers on the money line. You know what I mean? Like, when you add it all up, it was like it could have, like I said, the parlay, that's the good thing about parlays, right? That plus 170 parlay would have cleaned up like 2 or 3 other bets. And then, boom, you know, you just sort of move on. Same thing, and you know what? I tell you what, like, it's crazy. Same thing with the Euros, man. Same thing with the Euros. Dude, I had an alternate parlay today that I would have won over 1.5 in Spain and Sweden. Like, really? Like, oh, like, really? We couldn't get you're laughing with this. You think it's funny?
That game was such a crapshoot. I'm still so disappointed in the Spanish. Spain is a step behind, man, and they're missing a striker. They're missing a striker every single day of their life.
Hey, you're pretty chirpy today. What happened to Argentina today anyways with Chile? I don't even know. So I'm not, like, calling you out. What happened in that game? Sorry, everyone talking about it.
Argentina couldn't get the ball in the back of the net. Messi scored an amazing free kick, but that's about it, man. They were sleepwalking.
Matias got silent there. Hey, what about Argentina? It's like, Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. We're throwing it down. Sirius XM, Channel 204. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. Everybody's feisty. I like it. Listen, it's all good. It's all good. That's the thing with the playoffs, man. Listen, it's been a nice run as a Canadian backer and fan and better, right? It's been a nice three-week run, and we haven't tasted defeat in a couple of weeks. So it kind of sucks. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. And like I told people, like, we've got like a lot of regular viewers in our chat and stuff. And our we've hired a new moderator. We actually have a moderator, but just by chance, he's not starting until tomorrow. I guess we had a guy, but he lasted a day. So we got a new guy now again. But we really do. We got a new guy starting tomorrow. And that's going to be his thing. He's going to be like in the chat, monitoring things and like, because it's a circus in here. So, but as we stay, so we apologize to our regular, normal, cool people. And with the psychos and stuff, whatever. All you got to do is hit block and you don't see them. Right? That's what I do. But I know it's annoying, though. Me, I don't care what people say to me. But, like, if these trolls just came in and said, hey, you suck, Morency, and moved on, I wouldn't care. But they just constantly type all night. It's like, dude, like, really? Like, you know, please just go get COVID and die, all right? You know, 500,000 people are dead, and these trolls are somehow, they somehow live. But, oh, that's right. Trolls never leave their house. It's hard to get COVID when you never leave your house. Like I said, to all of our people, all you got to do is just hit block, and then whatever. You don't see them, and then you don't have a headache anymore. Very simple. I've got a headache. Congratulations to the Clippers. But I've got a headache because I had the over, and I can't believe they got to 222. And then the Philadelphia 76ers, the Atlanta Hawks series. We'll get you the updated series prices. Vegas are now minus 850 against Montreal. That's crazy. I'm telling you, this series is still going to be a long one. The Islanders and the Lightning are a pick-up. George Kurtz joins us. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am impressing. Ward Nelly. Wow, what a roller coaster, man. Yeah, man, the playoffs are draining, man. But it's fun being a fan. It's a roller coaster. Canadians had won 7 straight games. You can't win every night. And you got to take the good with the bad. Our chat is blown up with trolls. I can't see them because whatever, I blocked them. So all you got to do is just hit block and you don't see them. Right? So it's like, oh, that's easy. And you know what? That's one thing. I'm actually not mad about the hockey game. Did you see me when I came on? I'm mad right now because I just lost that total at 223 points and they get to 222 in a stupid rout when the Utah Jazz scored 13 points in the first quarter. It was 30-13 and it still nearly gets there and we lose. But I'll tell you, I don't know how the hell that hockey game stayed under. So we live to fight another day, but I would have liked to hit that parlay on the way out. Let's bring in George Kurtz right now. George, did you have the over or the under, the Canadians in the Vegas game tonight?
I had the under. I thought the Canadians got trouble scoring tonight. Vegas is a good defense. So things went well there. And listen, I know you say you get the trolls there. I don't know if Canadians had the to apologize for anything. They controlled that game in the first half of the first period. They just couldn't score the goal. They just couldn't score the goal. I mean, I think Fleury made 3, 4, 5 good saves. And if they just get one by him, just one, I wonder if that's a different game there. I think Vegas is the better team. You know, I've been predicting Tampa Bay and Vegas to meet in the Stanley Cup for the entire season. But I thought the Canadiens played a better game than they'll get credit for.
Yeah, you know what? It's true. Like, it was closer than a 4-1 game. You know, when we were talking about it earlier, George, it was like a football game. And you're pretty casual about the game staying under. They pulled a goalie with 4 minutes left. So, like, you know, I mean, it's got kind of
casual now. It may not have been casual then.
Yeah, it's kind of a miracle win that it stayed under. But, you know, the Canadians were massive underdogs coming into the series, biggest semifinal underdogs in 31 years. And you know, if you see the final score, I had 4-1. And, yes, listen, Carey Price made a couple of great saves. There could have been more goals. You can't dispute that. But also, the Canadians, like, really controlled a lot of the play. I said earlier, George, it was like a football game. The Canadians were like a team, bro, that were, you know, going up and down the field, but they kept on, like, punting from the other team's 40, and they were playing for field position. And then finally, when they punted, one of the punts got returned for a touchdown, and the next thing you know, they threw a bomb for a touchdown. Like, Montreal did a lot of good things. Like, one thing, it's not a mismatch. I'm not going to disagree. Vegas is a better team, and it doesn't hurt Vegas that they're allowed to elbow people in the face and get away with murder. And if they call the Canadians for stuff, but hey, that doesn't hurt them. Yet, it's not this massive mismatch that some people think it is. Yet, if you ask me right now, after watching tonight, you know, I'd have to say, I still think it's going six, but I'll say Vegas in six right now, George. I still think this series is going six games.
Yeah, I had Vegas in six as well. It wouldn't shock me if it's five. It wouldn't. I think Vegas is that good a team. But I'm not going to down credit Montreal. That being said, I think they better win game two. You know, if they lose game two, I don't know if they're going to sweep both games in Montreal. That smells to me. It's almost the same thing with the Lightning. The Lightning have to win game two because I don't think you're going to sweep the Islanders in Fort Neville lose here in the Coliseum. So I think that'd be difficult. So I think they have to win game two, then split Montreal. And that's how you'll get it to six, seven games here. So it's not an easy road at all. But if I'm Montreal, like I said, I don't know if I'd change many things tonight, Gabe. I don't know if I'd change anything. You have to score goals. And I think Montreal and the Islanders are very, very alike. Because I always feel this about the Islanders. Sometimes they get their chance, they don't bury them. Yeah, they have to bury their chance, but they don't have those kinds of players. You know, they don't have those scores. Sometimes you're not going to bury those. And it can get very frustrating when you exit. I thought the first period was Montreal. It was all Montreal. And but they couldn't bury the chance. And you equate it to football. I think it's a great analogy. It's almost like your running game's working great. You get to the other team's 40. They're playing bend but don't break, but you don't have that game breaker. You know, you don't have the Devontae Adams or Hill or anybody that can make that big touchdown catch, and you need that.
You know, it was a killer, though. They made it 2-1, and then suddenly you could tell the bench really came alive. They made it 2-1. Cole Caulfield scores his first ever playoff goal. His parents are there. He's all fired up. The bench is all fired up. And I even tweeted, all right, we got a game. You know, we got a game now. It's 2-1. Let's go. Boom. Boom. 50 seconds later, Vegas scores. Makes it 3-1. You know what I mean? That's just it was just a couple of plays, you know, and it was unforced errors. That's the thing. Right? There was an unforced error on an icing. There was no need to ice the puck. There was no urgency. It was Kulak just, you know, carelessly ripped it so hard it just like sailed like down the ice. Boom. Then they lose the faceoff and there's a goal on Theodore, right? There's another lost faceoff and just that quick point and it's deflected. You know, like Montreal did a lot of good things and they were off, George, for seven days. And they, listen, they played 11 games in 19 days. So I think it threw them off a little bit. And I will say, even if they would have scored first, to me, the Canadians sort of looked like they were tired. It sounds crazy to say that for a team that didn't play in 7 days, but it is. They're going to Vegas. It's hot as hell. They haven't played intense hockey in 7 days. Vegas just played Thursday night. It set up perfectly for them. You know, what a coincidence that, you know, that they did that. This series could have started on Saturday, but no, why do that? Right? So, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But I expect the Canadians to be in this thing on Wednesday. I really do. Like, I'm not writing them off, and we have a number right now. Same number, totals 5.5, shaded to the under at minus 144. Vegas Golden Knights are minus 250. Montreal Canadiens are plus 205. Right now. So let's get into the Islanders and the Lightning. The Lightning are now minus 190 in a pivotal game, too. The Islanders are on a roll at Nassau. So Tampa is a big game for them. Tampa has lost game ones before. They lost game one of the Stanley Cup Finals last year. So no panic for them. Total's 5.5 here. What do you make of this game, George? The Islanders played a perfect game. The Islanders and the Canadiens, like you said, are very similar. And, you know, I was proud. The Canadians looked like the Islanders in the first 9 minutes of the game tonight, didn't they? That first sort of, they did everything right, but the difference is, you know, the Islanders ended up getting that first goal. The Canadians didn't. Can the Islanders play another perfect road game like that again tomorrow? What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good summation. The Islanders did, Islanders played a pretty much a perfect game and still only won by one. I mean, it's a little scary when you think about that. The Islanders didn't make too many mistakes. They stayed out of the penalty box, which they have to do. Because the one thing in that Boston series, I believe Boston was 7 for 14 on the power play. Damn. And the Islanders were still able to advance there. So you got to stay
Tampa's
out of the box.
Power play is better than Boston's even.
Right. That's what I mean. You got to stay out of the box. I think Tampa's power play was working at over 40%. It's nuts. And the Islanders' penalty kill has not been very good right now. So stay out of the box. They played perfectly. They did get that first goal. I thought Tampa was a little off. I don't think they were terrible. I thought they were a little off maybe. I don't think they were taking the Islanders for granted. I don't. Because we look at that series last year between Tampa and the Islanders in the conference finals. I mean, once again, the Islanders went to Game 7 the series before. They had to play 2 days later, and they got wiped out. You know, they had to travel from Toronto to Edmonton in the bubble as well, and they got crushed. And even Game 6, the series went 6 games. That went to overtime. You know, so the Islanders gave him a series here. So I think Tampa, I don't think they were taking him lightly at all. I just think they were just a little off. I don't think they were quite there. We sort of saw this in game one against Florida as well in the first round. They were just a little off, and then they turned it on here. I think Tampa's going to be fine. I think they do win tomorrow. I think they'll even it up. I think the Islanders will play a good game. I do. I think it'll be, one of these. I don't think it'll be 2-1. I think it's a little higher than that, 3-2, 4-2, maybe with an empty net goal here. So if you worry about the over-under, I think you're only going to get the under if they don't score the empty net goal. If they get it, it's going to go over 4-2, 5-2, something like that. But I do think Tampa Bay evens it up tomorrow. I think they know they have no choice. Because if you lose, even if you play well, I think you're only going to split the Coliseum, and then it's 3-1. Good luck winning three straight.
I could see, I see Tampa winning tomorrow and then getting a split in New York, and then we'll be tied at 2. This thing's going to be a battle, right? This thing is going to be a battle. But Tampa, it's a good point that you're raising. We see that with Tampa. That's how dangerous and good they are. Even when they're terrible, they're always in games, right? It's like, yeah, like you said, they didn't play well. It's like, all right, they only lost by a goal. That's the thing with them. And Tampa do have that next level, right? Tampa really can say, all right, we got to dial it up. And they can. So I'm fascinated by the series price, George, because I'd rather almost, instead of laying the place more, even though I do think they're going to win. The series, more with Kurtz on the other side, but the series is a pickup, Kurtz, now. The Islanders are minus 110, Lightning. Value on Tampa at minus 110, right? More with Kurtz bringing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite, and don't forget our mobile app. So if you're not getting it, you're just not trying. Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Renzi. Rich Saratella will join us. NFL Draft Bible, SI.com in level 3. George Kurtz, Sports Grids. George Kurtz with us right now. So, George, as we're going to the break, I brought up this series price right now. The New York Islanders minus 110, Tampa Bay Lightning minus 110. Pretty big flip from the opening number here. And, basically, if, put it this way, George, you're an Islander fan, and you think Tampa's going to win this game tomorrow, and then Tampa wins this game tomorrow, then suddenly Tampa are going to be like minus 160 or 147 or 150, whatever, series favorites. So I'm not even like locking in Tampa, but we were talking about it earlier with Teddy Covers, who's a great handicapper. And you can accumulate a bunch of series prices, George. Like the NHL, it's a roller coaster. The NBA's been crazy, George. All these teams are up 2-0 and they're left for dead and they're massive underdogs and then boom, they come back. It's the playoffs, so you get these big overreactions. So I'm having a hard time not wanting to take Tampa to win this series at minus 110 right now. Well, you know, do you still, you're an Islander fan, even though they won game one. What do you think that, where do, what do you think happens in this series?
Now, the Islanders amaze me. They truly do. They're a team that's built for the playoffs. They're not built for the regular season. They're built for the playoffs because they want to play long series. And if you look at it, now listen, I'm the first person to admit that they beat the Penguins because Tristan Jarry fell apart. Oh, and that, I thought the Penguins really played very well. That series with Jerry was terrible. I thought they got the Bruins out of their game. I thought the Bruins, as the series went on, started.
Yeah, they were the better team.
They were starting fights. Right, the Bruins are starting fights with the Islanders, and that's what the Islanders want because they don't want your skilled players to play with skill. They want you to worry about the Islanders being hitting you. Right, the Bruins are complaining about the refs, yet they're the ones that are being fined. You know, for taking their other cheap shot hits. But I think the Islanders took them out of the game. They like to go with these long series. And at the end of the series, you know, game six was all Islanders. Bruins are never even in it. Yes, Rask got hurt, so that helped as well here. So I think it's the Islanders' key. They try and take you out of your game. Now, I don't think Tampa Bay is going to fall for that. You know, they've been to the I know this is technically not the conference finals, but it is. Five of the last 8 years. All right, so they're not going to – I don't think they'll
fall. It's a conference
I think
Well, whatever. It's the semifinals.
It's a bracket final, whatever you want to call it.
I had a hard time.
Conference. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what we're calling this. Semifinals.
It's the semifinals. Whatever. Who cares? Right. It's the semifinals.
It's a semifinal. So they're not. I don't think they'll fall for that with the Islanders. I don't think they'll be there. I think the series goes minimum six games, mind you. It could even go seven. It wouldn't shock me. I think Tampa's the best team in the NHL. That's what it comes down to me. I think they're the best team in the NHL because I'm an Islander fan. Doesn't change that. I've been predicting Tampa and Vegas all season long. I'm not going to stop that now. But the Islanders are a team. I forget which Islander said it. I think it was Cizikas that said it before game one. They're going to have to beat us. And I know he understood what he meant by that. The Islanders will not beat themselves. The Lightning will have to beat them, you know, to play their game and beat the Islanders at their own game there. I think they will in the end. I think maybe game one was sort of a wake-up call. But the Islanders played really close to as perfect a game as they can, won by a goal. I think that'll the momentum will swing a little bit here. I think it goes exactly like you said. I think Tampa Bay wins tomorrow. I think they will split up the Coliseum, and then you got the best two out of three. And I still think they edge there's Tampa. You mentioned as far as the line is concerned, which is at minus 114. I'll take that.
110.
I'll take that. You're not going to get any better. Minus 110. I'll take that with Tampa Bay because if they win tomorrow, that jacks back up.
You're not the only one. I swear to God, I say the numbers and all of our guests repeat numbers like that are different after. It's like, I just said it. I'm not calling you out, Kurtz, but it's like, I just say it. I don't know where you came up with 114. Yeah, 110. 110 on both sides. Pick them 110 on both sides. And like we said, if you like Tampa to win this game tomorrow, the series is going to flip, and then you can come back on the Islanders at plus money if you want it. And then if the Islanders win the next game, then suddenly Tampa's going to be plus money again. Right? Because, like, they won't be a pick 'em again because there's going to be less games left, right? They're going to be running out of real estate. So you really can. The whole point is, you know, I'm not going to lie. I don't think it's worth it. You know, it's the same theory, George, basically trying to bet two sides of a baseball game in game. You know what I mean? Like, basically, so, you know, you have one team at plus 220, whatever, coming into the game. And then the underdog, let's say, you know, you the underdog gets up first and you have the underdog. And then they're up 3-0. And then you're like, oh, wow, all right, now I'm going to take the favorite at plus money. I got the favorite now plus 140 or 160 because they're down 2-0 or they're down 3-0 or whatever. And then, boom, you got plus money on both sides, right? And people do that, George. There are people that, like, sit in front of the computer and do that. But you got to be a pretty big volume player, George, to do that, right? Like, there's no fun with the average bettor that's going to do that. Let's say you're a $20 bettor, $25 bettor. It's like, all right, you put $25 on one side, you put $25 on the other side, and you guaranteed yourself a $13 profit. Some people look at it like that's a success, and they just do it over and over, and it adds up. And I totally get it. But if you're a degenerate gambler, you're an action guy, George, you know what I mean? You're not going to get that rush. Oh, big deal. I want a McDonald's Happy Meal out of this. You know what I mean? But with these futures, it's sort of the same theory. You can get plus money on both sides, but I'd have to say, you know, you have to be laying like $100 at least each time. Like if you lay $100 every time, you're racking up the plus money plays. That's not too bad. But if you're going to do that approach, George, you know what I mean? It makes sense because you can make money, but for the $10 better, the $20 better or something, they don't want to do that. Nobody wants to bet all night just to make $6.
Right. It's patience, right? I mean, I think you put it perfectly. It's the rush. Most of us are doing it for the rush of the automatic win, not doing it by the numbers. That's really, really more analytical. You know, when you're doing it that way, you're doing it to win money, which is really what the object is here. But you do have to bet more money then. You know, the risk goes up there as well if you're wrong, if it doesn't work out the way you're hoping it to work out. So, I mean, when you think about it, that's the way we should be betting because we want to win. Yeah. Right? The idea is to win money. So even if it's just, you know, whatever, it's not as big a payoff as, you know, but if you're not risking as much, you can, it's a definite win. The win's the win. Yeah. So I sort of like it that way. But then again, I understand the rush, the part of it. You know, my brother's a perfect example. He knows he will not take any advice from me at all on anything sports related for whatever reason, but he'll make 1,000 little bets. 1,000 five, I mean, literally, if you look at it, he'll have a spiral notebook.
You had a brother. You never brought him up before, Kurt. It's like, wow. It's coming out of the blue here.
Younger, he's been gambling forever.
And he's a gambling sports fan.
He's the weirdest guy, Gabe, and I'll tell you why. Because he's that guy. He'll watch a game. He doesn't really have any team he roots for. As far as, you know, he's not a Cowboy fan, Yankee fan, Islander fan. He'll tell you he's an Eagle fan, that he's a Yankee fan, that an Islander fan, but he's not. He just doesn't care. But he'll watch a game. He'll have a spiral notebook. And with I look at all his bets, he writes it down. Doesn't even type it out. He writes it down of, you know, $5 here for this fight. And there'll be pages of this. I'm like, you can't win money that way. You know that, Dan. You can't. I mean, you're making way too many bets here. You know, but that's all he does. I'm like, just pick a couple of them and bet higher amounts.
Yeah, but, you know, he's getting, you know, he feels like.
But he's doing it for the rush. The
exactly,
he likes the rush,
right?
Of it. Right? Yeah. All he cares about is his bets and fantasy. That's it. Doesn't have any rooting interest. Doesn't care if the Yankees win or lose, Cowboys win or lose, or Eagles, whoever the hell it is. But he has, I mean, it's hilarious. You'll see him and he checks it off, and now he'll tell me every half hour, okay, I'm up $380. I'm down $217 from all the, that's how his mind works. Even though there are literally hundreds of bets he has to go through here. So you're in your mind. I couldn't deal with that. I would jump off a roof.
The thing is, too, there was a guy, so like parlay betting. They've had parlay betting in Canada for years, but not single game wagering. So there was a guy in Toronto, and it's called ProLine, George. So it's basically you got to pick three games, okay? And the odds aren't as good as like a sports book because it's owned by the government. But the convenience of it is you can play at any, like you can walk into a 7-Eleven and play a parlay, bro, like in Canada. So you can walk into any corner store, any, like, you know what I mean, and play a parlay on any sport, right? So, and a good thing is you can get paid in the morning. Like the next day, you can go back to the store even and they'll pay you. So it's like a lottery ticket. It's out of the lottery machine and stuff, right? So it's run by the lottery corporations. So there was a guy in Toronto years ago, and same thing, George. Like he wasn't a sports fan. Like he wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm a diehard NHL fan and stuff. What he was is just sort of a numbers guy, and he had money. And basically, the guy was a psycho, bro. He was playing like $250,000 a night. But you know what? I guess the best way of putting it, like the DFS guys. Sheer volume, bro. So this guy came up with basically like mathematical probabilities. And like kind of what we just talked about, he didn't care, man, if he made $3,000 or $30,000. As long as he made money. And like every night he was making money, bro. He knew a little bit about hockey and he just ambushed them. So, like, basically three-team parlays, but round robin. Two, like, all right, there, two, you know, two, this team twice and mix it up that third time. I'll have, like, and I'll play 1,000 tickets. And basically they caught on. They were running out of paper, George, at corner stores. Because he played so many tickets, he was going from each store to store, scooping up all the ballots. Because he was filling out hundreds of them in each store. So they basically ratted him out. They were like, listen, there's a guy that's coming in here. And he's playing like 1,000 tickets and stuff. And like he was trying to like get stores to let him do it because you're not allowed playing that much. So they busted him. They caught on and they didn't want to pay him. and it became like a big thing. Like, why wouldn't you pay him? Because they said he was like he wasn't gambling in good faith. He was like, you know what I mean, attacking it, whatever. And you know what ended up happening? They ended up hiring him. They ended up hiring him, George, and he for him to show them like the weaknesses about how people can do what he could do. It's always like that, huh? The man hired him.
It's like card counting in blackjack.
Yeah, the casino will hire. Tell us what they're doing exactly.
All right, well, why is card counting illegal? I mean, why?
I know, you're right. Well, you're not allowed to be smart and remember things.
I was lost, but since been found.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talk about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Late night at the Management Classic. You know, I've been wearing this hockey jersey. And, you know, we're under the lights and stuff. And I can't tell you, at first it was kind of cool and comfortable. But after hours under the lights and stuff, a little hot yet. I wore it on the show earlier, George, on Game Time Decisions. Nice new Canadiens jersey. And I didn't want people after the game, oh, you're not wearing a jersey and stuff, right? So, I'm owning it, George. Isn't that pretty big of me? I didn't take the, you know what I mean? I'm owning it after. I could have just changed and been more comfortable for the show. Today I'll wear the jersey again on Wednesday when they play. I don't like the fact they lost with me wearing his jersey because they were winning with the hat, but I can't blame the hat or the jersey, George. What I wear has zero impact. Do you believe in that stuff? When you watch the Cowboys, the Yankees, do you have like Yankee hats or jackets that you prefer that you think are good luck or bad luck?
No. I am somewhat superstitious, but not as far as what I wear. Generally, I wear the first thing out of my closet or you know, drawer, whatever. I don't care. But let's say if I've been tossing a football up and down, I am a little nervous when I watch games of teams I root for, or money, if I have big money on a game as well. And if I'm tossing a football up in the air and things are going well, I'm tossing that football up in the air. All right? I'm going to keep doing that, yeah. If I'm doing something habit-forming, sure. But clothing, no, I don't have any special superstitions there.
For me, and I don't like, you know, it's almost with me and Cam. Cam's the same way now. My new thing is, it seems to me things go better when I don't watch games, George. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be watching, like, I'll have money on a game and stuff. And it's like, hey, things are going really well here. And I'll tune in. And it's like, wow, I just got scored on twice since I've been watching in 2 minutes. Like, as soon as I tune in all the time, it seems like, or if I, you know what I mean? I'm better off betting and not paying attention to the game. I think it's the best way of putting it. Put my bets in, and, you know, obviously with this, you know, the playoffs and stuff you're watching, but I honestly think that sometimes. I'm like, man, I don't need to sweat this out. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen after. But people do believe in that. Oh, my lucky shirt and this and that. It's like, really? Can you imagine if we all had that power, George? Imagine if we had the power to become rich by, oh, if I wore this shirt, I'll be rich. Come on.
it's silly. Like, but listen, we all have stuff we think we're, and I don't blame people.
What about
I don't blame
no hitters?
At all.
What about no hitters, like with the announcer?
Oh, don't say it. Yeah, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. You can't. I understand if you're on the team.
What do you mean? You know,
if Gabe Morenci is pitching a no hitter,
what does it matter if the guy in a damn booth says something about a no hitter? It has zero impact on the field.
I agree, but I understand for the players though. Like, let's say, listen, Gabe Morenci is pitching a no hitter, and I'm on your team. I'm not going to go up to you and say anything. Hey, Gabe. Nice. You're not having a lot of any hits. You know that? I understand that.
In the dugout, nobody says anything. You're right. You're right.
And I'm fine with that.
That's the code. That's the code. You know what's funny, though? I've heard pitchers say they don't like it. Because they know it puts more pressure, George, almost. You know what I mean? why is no one talking to me, right? Especially if you're usually a talkative dude, right, in the dugout and stuff. And because the thing is, guys, for just people that don't know, there's a code in Major League Baseball. If the pitcher has a no-hitter going, nobody talks to him, like in between innings. Nobody talks to him, the pitcher. Nobody says a damn word. You're not allowed talking to the pitcher. So the pitcher just goes and he sits there, except then the pitcher just feels isolated, right? And he knows everyone's going out of their way. And then they even take it a step further, George. No one makes eye contact with him, right? Because that's the next thing. Don't look at him, right? So it's like, so suddenly you're a pitcher and you're sitting at the end of the dugout and you realize, man, all my teammates are not talking to me. No one's even looking at me here. I don't know. Some guys don't like it, but the announcer has nothing to do with it, right? And it's like some sort of code. Yet I will admit, and I see it in basketball and you see it in football, George, you don't watch basketball, but in, you'll see it in football. How many times do you see the jackass announcer, and it only is a gambler because it'll annoy you, but the announcer will come on and say, this guy has made 22 consecutive kicks from 35 yards and in, right? And then he says it, and then boom, off the upright. It's like, dude, did you have to say that, like, right before, right? Like, you see that all the time. Basketball, George, the same thing. This guy makes 96% of his free throws, Bill. Brick. Like, you know what I mean? They'd be like, hey, he's made 17 consecutive free throws. Brick. It's like, God, like, did you really have to say that? Like, why didn't you wait till after he hit the shot? But you see that in football all the time, Kurtz, right, with the field goals? Oh, he never misses from this range, off the upright.
And you're waiting for it, too, because we all say the same thing. Oh, he's going to miss this one now. It's like, you know, it's a
clank. Of course. Yeah, exactly.
Doink. Yeah, it ticks you up, even though I know they have nothing to do with it. They have no power over this, but it does seem to work out that way. They say it, and there it goes. He missed it, wide right.
I know. But as we stated, guys, if we all had that power over the world, it would be great, wouldn't it? I wish I could just say things that would affect the outcome of games. I can't. I can't. All right, so before we get into some baseball here, George, final thoughts, hockey. So tomorrow, you like Tampa to win, and you like the over, you were saying? You think it's going to be over?
No, I like the under. I'm going to go the under again.
You're going to go under, yeah?
Yeah, I think Tampa's going to play a better game. I just don't – it's hard for me to bet the over on the Islanders because, you know, the offense isn't there. So I'll take the under. I think if it goes over, that probably means to me that Tampa blew them out. I don't think it's going to be a 5-4 game. But I could see Tampa, you know, the game gets out of hand, it's 6-2, something like that. I could see that.
All right, George. So I bet some baseball tonight. Even though I was all fired up for the hockey tonight, I looked at the baseball card and I said, you know what? Pittsburgh are terrible. Give me Washington. I said, you know what? Give me Cleveland over Baltimore. Nice wins there. I did lose with the Toronto Blue Jays. Blue Jays offense stalls tonight. They lose 2-1. How'd you do on the diamond tonight?
I lost the over in that game, but at least I got crushed, right? It was 2-1. It was never even close there. I just thought there'd be more runs in that game. I had Oakland tonight. I think they just won a little while ago, right? So they did win. I'm not a big fan of the Angels at all. I think they're a terrible team, with or without Trout at all. I don't think it matters. I thought about betting
against.
They're
actually better without Trout. Which sounds crazy.
You know, the numbers actually support you there, believe it or not.
I know.
I'm assuming you know that anyway. But, yeah, they actually are a better record without, which is weird. It's just strange. What are you – there's the rest of the team picks up their game without Trout? How does that make any sense?
But it's always been this way, George. It's not just like this year. Like, all the time. Like, every time Trout is out, they get better. Like, I don't know. Like, and I looked it up, the numbers, whatever. They're like 20 games over 500 in his career, and they're like 30 whatever under. But – when you consider for the guy that you're paying all that money, like, basically, I hate to say it, just trade him. I don't know what you can get for him, just trade him. What difference does it make? You've never won with him. You have a better record without him. Like, it's just one of these weird deals there, George. And I don't know, people talk about his war and stuff, but what is the, like, I get it, George. One guy cannot change a base. Like, an outfielder can't change anything. I totally get that. So, this isn't a Mike Trout bash here. So I'm not blaming him for the Angels' failures. But let's just be real, George. For years, it's been this way. They're like 500 or sub-500 with them, and they're usually the same without him or better without him. And it's been this way because he gets hurt every year. So we see this every year, George.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to blame it on Trout either. For me, it's purely, how about get a pitcher? I mean, it's kind of their ace. Their number one starter is Dylan Bundy, the guy who got wrecked in Baltimore. I mean, it's a joke. Get pitching. And I understand they just lost out on Gerrit Cole, right? The Yankees outbid them. They were number two. They did go after Cole, but that was 2 years ago. How do you not get any power? How does Zach Wheeler not end up on your team? You know, he was out there. How does another top free agent not end up on your team? You keep adding bats. We know you can hit.
Yeah, Rendon.
Fantastic that Rendon can hit. I know Ohtani technically could be an ace, but he looks like another guy who's never going to truly pitch every 5 days to be that kind of pitcher there. He can be great, but probably won't be. You know, so go out and pay money for some pitching and support Trout every now and then would be nice.
And honestly, too, even though it's a great story and all that, he'd be better off if he just played outfield and hit and pitched in spot situations. Right? Because now you're just in this constant thing about in off days he's warming up. You know, oh, what about his arm? What about his arm in this? It's too much to ask, George. There's a reason why people are two-way players in baseball, George. It's too much to ask.
I agree with you. You know, and I don't think there's any doubt he's a great pitcher, right? He can throw the ball 110 miles an hour. His ERAs are below three. But he's always missing time. And then he has to have a day off from batting as well, right? Oh, maybe a day before he gets off or a day after he gets off. So that's kind of not hitting
better
either.
Hitter. He'd be an even better hitter, George. Imagine if he just was hitting all the time. You know what I mean? And how about this? I don't know. You want to make him the closer. I don't care. Make him the damn closer. You know what I'm saying? You want to pitch him? I get it. But him pitching every 5 days and wanting him to play, as George just stated, there's always going to be problems. Then he can't play. He's not going to hit the next day. And then the day after, oh, his arm hurts. And, like, there's always going to be something. Even though he can do it, he could be better, I think. Yu Darvish said it. Me and Jason B. Tackerford, one of our guests, talked about it. And Yu Darvish said, look, he's Japanese, and he was doing an interview in Japanese, but I saw the translation, and it was pretty cool. Like, he was taking questions from the baseball media there, and they said, what about Ohtani? And he said, oh, he's amazing. He's a friend of mine. You know, I cheer for him and stuff. And he said point blank, but I think he should just play right field. And he goes, we've told him that. And it's crazy. He goes, I was talking with people in the San Diego organization, and he said they think that he should just be a right fielder as well. So it's pretty clear. Like, why does everyone know this except the Angels?
Oh, I think the Angels know it, but I think Ohtani wants to do it. And maybe they made some kind of side deal there, whatever it might be, but I think that's why. I think the Angels also realize they need him to pitch.
No, you're right. No, you're right. They're trying to get two for one because they need pitchers, but I think you're bang on there, George. And that's what I told Jason at the time, too. You know when they signed him, they promised him that, right?
That's why he went there.
Yeah. How many teams said, no, we can't do, we can't promise you that, right? You know the Angels promised them. They said, yeah, you can pitch. That was one of the deals. So they don't want to renege on it now and piss them off, right? And so, you know, interesting. So, George, speaking of pissed off, Yankee fan, you're the Yankee fan. Pissed off yet? What's the feeling with this season right now? Slipping away.
I've been pissed off the whole season. It's not that they're losing. I keep saying this. I you know, the Yankees have lost. I'm old enough to remember when the Yankees have lost in the past, where they haven't been a good team, so I can accept that. But Gabe, I'm not saying they're the worst fundamental baseball team, because, you know, I haven't seen every game for every team, but they're
Pirates
horrific.
Are bad, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're horrific. There's a reason why, I know it's a small sample size, but there's a reason why they're 3-6 in extra inning games, because they have no idea of how to get the runner from second base over to third. Then no one's hitting behind the runner, hit a ground ball so you get him over. They're not going to bunt. They don't have any bunters on the team. Right? They just can't get the guy over. It's gross baseball over and over again. They cannot hit with men on base. Look at the stats. You look at each game, the box score, you'll see this. Runners in scoring position, 2-for-9, 2-for-11, 2-for-12. That's the Yankees over and over again. They get guys on base all the time. It's not a problem. They can't drive them in. You know, and it's been going on for years, but in past years, they would play Earl Weaver baseball. Of those two hits, they'd be three-run homers. Yeah. They'd score 5-6 runs right there. Hey, there you go. You won the game. Now, this year, they're not doing that. So they're not scoring runs because they're not going to hit three singles in a row. It's a problem. The Yankees are fundamentally bad. And Boone finally coming out yesterday and going, oh, yeah, we got to get better. Thanks. Thanks, Aaron, because we haven't seen this. So, you know, it's been the same story game in, game out. The Yankees are a very difficult team to watch right now.
Big series coming up. Big series coming up with the Toronto Blue Jays. Yankees at Jays. More with Kurtz on the other side. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Working hard 24 hours a day to give you your USRDA of the winning edge. Everything a growing boy needs.
Sit up straight.
Get it right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Yeah, we were a little hockey heavy to start the program. We're going to get into some Euro, too. We got some big matches tomorrow. Portugal take the pitch, as well as Germany and France. Can't believe Germany and France have to play each other in the first game. That's just craziness. We'll get into that. We got Rick Saratel. We'll get into some NFL football. So, George, before we get you out of here, what do you make right now? Do you think we're going to start to see more games start to go over the number? The batting average has gone up over the last 10 days or so since the warning has come in. And you know that they gave the warning and – before they lay the hammer down, so pitchers can get used to, like, weaning themselves off this stuff, right? Not fully, but start to. And we've seen, man, spin rate was down. Your boy Garrett Cole didn't handle it best when he goes, well, I don't know how to answer that, right? Trevor Bauer got lit up. Spin rate's, like, down a lot of guys. 67% of pitchers, their spin rate is down in the last 10 days. There's something to it. 35% of pitchers, there's a few, like, 33%. Like, were really down, like their spin rate. So the guys that were really cheating, were really dipping the ball, there's a difference. Do you expect to see the result moving forward?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think it's very important for all aspects. We're going to see more hitting. We've already heard that teams are telling certain pitchers, not every pitcher, but certain pitchers, to have big-time bullpen sessions to make sure they're not going to throw the ball, over the batter's head, because they have no idea where it's going anymore, because they're not going to be using the sticky stuff anymore. They can't use anything anymore. Anything. You can't even use rosin and sunscreen anymore. They can get thrown out for that. So it's going to be wild to see what happens here.
Yeah, batters are going to be scared, George, because they don't mind if you use a little stuff. Dude.
Alonso said that.
Video. Yeah. Did he? Did he say that? Yeah, right? Exactly.
He said that because he doesn't want, they don't mind you using a little stuff. It's the pitchers went overboard. They said they were children. You know, if you have children, you know that you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. They're going to keep doing it. That's what happened here. Although I don't think they're laying the hammer down, by the way. He gets suspended 10 days, but it's with pay. Really?
Oh, it's with pay? That's it. It's with pay, pay after all. With pay, huh? Man, what a union they have. Hey, that's great. Thanks, George.